can take this off, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah, thine the glory. Oh, man. The Lord is good. He's wonderful. He's so good. So good to be here with you all today. It's really an honor and a privilege for me to be able to spend this time with you. Just want you to know how much I appreciate this little body, and I love singing the hymns with you guys. Oh, it rejoices my heart. That's one thing that I've missed since I've come to South Africa is churches that sing heartily to the Lord, you know? It's really wonderful. It's a blessing. The Lord has had me doing a lot of work with a lot of former charismatics and trying to teach them the ways of the Lord and the word of the Lord. And so there's a lot of music I've had to forbear for some time, and I'm trying to bring them around to a more excellent way. Let's put it that way, more excellent way. So I guess this is your missions month, and that's a blessing to be able to, you know, set aside a month and just really consider the work of the Lord, consider the work of the gospel, the call of the gospel, and really to pray for and support those men and women who are out on the front lines. Prayer really makes such a difference. And really the thoughts the Lord gave me this morning to bring forth, it's just neat how even in the hymns that were chosen, everything that's been said, even in the prayer letter that's read, it's all confirming the kind of the message. So whenever I speak to God's people, I always pray, Lord, please, what would you like to bring forth to them? You know, I have many thoughts in my heart, but the counsel of the Lord, that's what stands. You know, not my counsel. If my counsel's in line with his counsel, that will stand, but it's not because it's mine, it's because it's his. So, yeah, I was just praying, and I think, you know, just there's a real need in the world for men, women, children, young people to just be on fire for the Lord, you know, to really just be a true witness to him. And so just want to bring forth a few thoughts today about being a witness of Christ. You know, how can we be good witnesses, be true witnesses, be faithful in the things that the open doors and the opportunities we have. So, that's what we're going to look at today. So the first scripture I want to bring you to is Acts chapter 4. I'm going to flip through a few scriptures today, but I know you're used to that. So I'm sure you'll be able to keep up here, but going to be looking at verses 9 through 13 real quick. But let's just pray first. Just seek the face of the Lord. We'll get in the scripture. Father, thank you for this time. Father, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for being so kind and merciful to us, Lord. Lord, we need you in all things. We can do nothing without you. So please, Father, as we consider your word this morning, as I speak, God, we're asking you to help us. We're asking you to open our hearts, asking you to still our minds and our spirits. Father, please impart to us the things that you would impart. We love you, Lord. We need you. We trust you. Help us, Lord. Help us overcome our fears. Help us overcome the things that are hindering us, Lord. Please, Father, we're asking for help and for strength and for deliverance. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Acts 4, the apostles, and mostly it's focusing on Peter and John, are preaching the gospel with power. They are brought before the council. They've been arrested, brought before the council, and basically this is their chance to respond. They're, you know, like, what are you guys doing? You can't be speaking in this name. So here they're brought before in Acts 4, verse 9. Peter says, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, as you read that, if you start to get a little bit of the spirit by which these men spoke, you see such boldness and such confidence and such authority. I mean, remember, these guys are just a bunch of nobody fishermen. And here they are brought before the high council, the people who have the authority to deliver them unto death. And they're like, listen, let me tell you how this guy's whole. It's by the name of Jesus Christ, the one you guys just killed, the one that God rose from the dead. And let me tell you this, this is exactly what's in the scriptures. This is the stone which was rejected of you builders, set at naught of you. But guess what? There's no salvation in any other name except for Jesus Christ. I mean, just confidence and authority right in the face of the high council. No fear of man. Amen? I love this. And look at verse 13. The council, man, they're like taken aback. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned men, unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. You know, again, I want you to see this. This is what God really wants on this earth. He wants men and women filled with the power of God, speaking the truth with confidence and authority, no matter who is present, no matter who is around, because this gospel needs to get out to everybody, rich and poor, bond free. It doesn't matter who it is. This gospel needs to be preached with authority to everybody, because this is God's gospel. But I want you to see the first thing. You know, what's the key to being a powerful witness for Christ? What is the key to being able to speak the word of God with authority, to be able to be a true witness? The first key I see is at the end of verse 13. It says, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That they had been with Jesus. You know, the first key, if you want to be, you want to do great things for God, You want to turn men's hearts back to the Lord and back to Jesus Christ. You want to save souls out of the pit of hell and bring them into the kingdom of God. If this is something that burns in your heart, you want to do this. The first key is you need to spend time with Jesus. You know, these men, we could look through the scriptures. We're not going to necessarily look through them, but you know in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. You know in Mark 16, the Great Commission to teach all nations, to preach the gospel to every creature, you know. But this commission was given specifically to the 11 apostles. It was not given to everybody in Israel initially. It was not even given to all the believers initially. It was originally given to the 11 apostles. Why? Because those 11 had left everything, and they had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. They had spent time with Jesus first. The key to being a good witness for Christ is first, you got to spend time with Christ. If you don't spend time with him, what can you be a witness of? You know, what can you witness for? You know, even now, a scripture is just coming to mind. I didn't write this in my notes, but let me just find this real quick, because it's just coming to my mind, and I think this will be good. Yeah, it's further on chapter 4 here. Look at verse 18. So they put Peter and John outside of the council for a little bit, and they kind of conferred among themselves. And they said, we're going to threaten them that they won't speak anymore in this name. So verse 18, they called Peter and John back in, and they commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, I mean, no hesitation, I'm sure they're praying, you know, we got to be instant in prayer, but no hesitation, just right away. They said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Good, you want us to listen to you more than listen to what God told us? Look at verse 20, watch this. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Amen? Listen, a witness cannot testify of something that he has not seen or heard. You know, I wasn't called to be a witness in the O.J. Simpson trial. The reason why is I wasn't a witness. I wasn't there. I didn't know anything about it. So how can I bear witness to something? I don't know O.J. Simpson. I don't know his former wife. I don't know Ron Goldman. And this is kind of going back, but this just was coming to mind. But how can I bear witness? I can't be brought to the witness stand. I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. And what I did see and hear, it was through a TV screen, secondhand, through other people. But I can't really be a direct witness because I haven't spent any time with those people. I wasn't there. If you want to be a witness of Jesus Christ, you have to spend time with Jesus Christ. And what you're going to see is the more time you spend with Jesus Christ, the more you see him, see how he works, see what he does. The more time you hear him, you hear his doctrine, you hear his word, you continue in his word, the more you see and you hear, you're going to get to where you're going to be like Peter and John and go, I can't help but tell you the things I've seen and heard. You know what I'm saying? It's going to overflow within you. We're going to see this as we go forward. Revelation chapter 3. A lot of times, you know, it's wonderful to be in a church that emphasizes the gospel and emphasizes missions. This is a blessing and a privilege and an honor. There's many churches that aren't like this. There's many churches that's just all selfish. It's all about us. And so it's wonderful to have that. But sometimes you can grow up as a young one and you can feel this burden. Like, I got to win the world and I got to preach these amazing sermons and I got to preach these messages and I got to compel men. But meanwhile, I haven't really even walked with Christ. And so you have this burden being put on you, but there's no way you can even carry this burden. And Christ doesn't even expect you to carry this burden. Christ says, if you're weary and heavy laden, he says, come to me. Come to me. I'll give you rest. Learn of me. Look at Revelation chapter 3. What is one of Christ's names? Verse 14, and he's speaking to the church of the Laodiceans, which was a very selfish, carnal church. And look at what he says. This is how he declares himself. Verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. You want to learn how to be a faithful and true witness? Well, spend time with the one who is the faithful and true witness. There is no greater witness that's ever walked the face of the earth to the truth of God, the truth of the kingdom of God, the truth of the salvation of God, the truth of the redemption of man. There's no greater witness than Jesus Christ himself. He is the faithful and true witness. And there's something about the people you hang around, the people you spend time reading their books, listening to their podcasts, or listening to their whatever the TV things are. I don't even know what they call them anymore. But there's something about the people you spend around, you start to become like them. You start to learn from them. You start to, you know, you want to be faithful and true witness? Spend time with the faithful and true witness. Go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. So I hear you guys are studying the book of John on Sunday nights, and I'm envious. I wish I lived in Klaxdorp. I love John. John is wonderful. Ah, John is beautiful. So I'm going to just show you a few things that you haven't seen yet, but I'm sure when you guys get there, you're going to see these things. But, you know, remember, we are called to be disciples of Christ, not disciples just disciples, not disciples of a denomination or a church or a something. We're called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And what that means is that means we want to follow Jesus Christ. We want to become like Christ. We need to continue in His Word. And when we read the book of John, you have a wonderful opportunity when you read John to get to see with how did Jesus deal with lost people? What were the things that He addressed? What were the things that He spoke of? And how did He have such confidence and authority and power? You say, well, He's the Son of God. Well, of course. But through Christ, we become sons of God. We become daughters of God. He wants us to have confidence and authority. He wants us to do it like Him. And so one of the things I see in John 7 and throughout John, we're going to look at a couple scriptures real quick, but I think this is really important. John 7, verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." So here's what Jesus reveals. Jesus, as a man, says the doctrine I'm teaching, the things I'm preaching, it's not mine. It's the one who sent me. He's the one who gave me these things to speak. And He says, man, if I speak of myself, now in King James English, the word of, it doesn't necessarily mean about. So it's not saying if I speak about myself, because Jesus is speaking about Himself. He is revealing Himself, okay? But He's saying if I speak of myself, He's talking about I'm not making this stuff up. This stuff isn't coming from my own mind and heart. The stuff that I'm speaking is of Him, the one who sent me, and I'm delivering what He gave me to deliver. Look at chapter 8. I want you to see this, and I think this is going to be key if we want to become effective witnesses for Christ. We're going to follow in the footsteps of Christ. John 8, verse 28. "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." So what do you see about Christ? Christ only spoke the things that His Father taught Him. Anything His Father didn't teach Him, He didn't speak about it. Okay? Back in chapter 5. By the way, being an effective witness isn't just about what we speak, although what we speak is very important. We've got to make sure we're speaking the right things. But it's also about how we live, what we do, the works we do. And in John 5, look at what Jesus says in verse 19 and 20. "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth." So again, Jesus' ministry was 100% based on what the Father gave Him. So whatever the Father taught Him, that's what He spoke. Whatever the Father showed Him, this is what you need to do, that's what He did. He only did what the Father revealed to Him. Which is why there was no unrighteousness in Him. He was absolutely true because He was not seeking His own glory. He was only seeking the glory of the one who sent Him. They say, what does it have to do with me? It's the same thing for us. If we're going to be effective, faithful, true witnesses, we can only really speak the things that God has confirmed in our hearts, the things God has taught us. You know, if I'm teaching you something and you kind of like, oh, it sounded right. You know what Brother Adam said? Don't try and go bring that to somebody else. Don't try and use that as an argument. First, seek the face of God, search the Scriptures, and if what I said was true, let God confirm it to you. And if He gives that truth to you and you receive it and you've got it, then you can speak that with authority. You can speak that with confidence. But the things you've only received by men, but you haven't really received it from God. If you'd go out trying to speak those things, you're going to find yourself to be quite ashamed. Going to be people who put you to shame. There are going to be people who pick apart your arguments because you're just speaking based on what you've heard other people speak. I don't know if this is making sense, but I'm telling you, to be a faithful and true witness, you have to see. You have to hear. You go, well, Jesus isn't here in the flesh. I can't see him. You know, Jesus isn't here speaking to me. I can't hear him. Yeah, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have the word of God, so you can hear. But you need ears to hear. You need to make sure you're receiving it from the Lord. And guess what? You can see. Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus that never saw Jesus. Pray that they would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him so the eyes of their understanding could be enlightened so they could see. So they could see. God wants you to see the invisible things. So if you want to be faithful and true witness, you need to spend time with Christ. He is the faithful and true witness, and he showed us how to be a faithful and true witness, which is even as a man, he didn't rely on himself. He didn't come up with his own ideas. He didn't come up with his own things. He sought his Father in prayer. The Father would confirm the truth to him, and that's what he was a minister of. He was not there for his own glory, his own purpose. He was there only for the Father. Go to Philippians 3 real quick. You know, when I first got born again, there was in me just this compelling from within that I need to get out. I need to share the gospel. I need to, you know, we didn't even know what we were doing back then. It was just a few young guys, and we're like, let's just get some tracts. We'll go to the local university, and we'll just start passing them out. And so we just did. But there's something about getting out there that everything that you thought you knew and thought you believed is going to be tested. And everything you were taught in church and everybody else nodded and said amen to, all of a sudden is going to start getting fired at. And now you've got to start finding out, what is really of God? And what do I really know is of God? And I can stand on this thing and fight for this thing. And what was just men's opinions or maybe even error where they went off and it's not really lining up with the scriptures. I'm finding holes in this thing. And there's something about that. But you know what, in all of this, in going out and being zealous and doing that, you know what the Lord really revealed to me? The greatest need is I need to know him. I need to know him. If I want to be true to him, I have to know him. How can I be true to somebody I don't know? How can I reveal someone to the world that I don't even really know him myself? I need to know him. The goal is not to be a great evangelist or to be a great missionary, to be a great preacher. That's not the goal. That might be a function that God uses and he makes you into. But the goal, look at Paul's heart. The goal is to know him. You know, a lot of people look at the Apostle Paul as the greatest missionary ever, the greatest church planter. And he may have been. I don't know. God will determine who was. But we certainly know he was excellent. We know he excelled even the original 11. But look at what Paul says. In verse 3, he says, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. I love that. We worship God in the Spirit, not in the flesh, in the Spirit. And we rejoice in Christ Jesus. Paul rejoiced. He loved Jesus Christ. It was the rejoicing of his heart. He didn't rejoice in rugby and soccer and politics. I don't know how you can rejoice in politics, but I guess some people do. He didn't rejoice in Hollywood and series, and he rejoiced in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. But look at verse 4. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more. And then Paul just explains all the things and goes, man, if anybody could trust in the flesh, it's me. He goes, but I don't trust in the flesh. Why? Because verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. You see Paul's heart. He's going, man, I had seminary training. I had a doctorate in theology. I was trained by men. I was taught that. I knew this stuff. I had it mastered. I was an expert. And he goes, I lost it all so I could just know Christ. He goes, once I met Christ, all that stuff that seemed to have such power and such weight and such authority, and he goes, all that was nothing compared to knowing him. And the whole purpose of Paul's life from that point forward was to just be true to Jesus, to know Jesus. So when he preached, he wasn't preaching to try to convince men. He was preaching so that he could be true to Jesus. When he taught the churches, he wasn't teaching, trying to be clever and come up with ways that he could. No, he was just trying to reveal what Christ had revealed to him so he could be true to Jesus. That was his heart. This is where it starts. It's where it starts. We need to spend time with Christ. We need to spend time with Christ. If you don't spend time with Jesus, you're never going to be a witness. And if you are, you won't be a witness of Christ. Look at the Mormons' witness. The JW's witness. You know? Even some Muslims' witness. There's a lot of people out there witnessing. But in the end, there's only one who can save. There's only one who can redeem. There's only one who is the Lord of heaven and earth. There's only one who's going to be the judge of quick and dead that every man is going to stand before, and his name is Jesus Christ. We need to prepare men to meet Jesus because they're all going to meet him on judgment day. Whether saved or unsaved, whether believers or unbelievers, everybody's going to have to answer to Christ. So when I speak to that Muslim, I don't have to bow to his Muslim error. I can tell him, listen, Jesus died for you. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus ascended at the right hand of the Father. And he's coming back to judge the world in righteousness. And you'll stand before Jesus. I don't believe that. It doesn't matter if you don't believe that. You're going to stand before Jesus Christ. And in that day, it doesn't matter what Muhammad said. It doesn't matter what the Quran said. It matters, what did Jesus say? That's all that matters. We have to prepare men to meet Christ. And our prayer is that they can meet him now before it's too late. And they don't meet him on the wrong side of the judgment. But either way, they're going to stand before Christ. Paul says, I want to know him. I want to be found in him. I want to win him. That's where being a faithful and true witness begins, because he is the faithful and true witness. Amen? Now, second thing I want to bring forward is just, I want to give you some confidence. You go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I want to give you some confidence. This is a huge and heavenly calling to be a witness for Jesus Christ. This is not a light matter. This is a big, big deal. In fact, this is the biggest deal ever. Apart from Christ, they have no hope. Apart from Christ. If this gospel's true, you have to decide whether you really believe it or not. Obviously, whether you believe it or not doesn't change the fact that it's true. But I'm saying, if this thing is true, you're talking about the eternal souls of men and women hanging in the balance. Their only hope is Jesus Christ. Their only hope is to hear about him. And so this is a big job, and you could maybe be overwhelmed and think, I can't do this, I'm not worthy. Well, guess what? In your flesh, you can't do it and you're not worthy. But praise God, he's transforming us. He's making us worthy. And look at this, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. Here's some confidence. You're not alone in this job. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Notice, they're not witnesses until they first receive power. And what is that power? That's when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. The Holy Ghost. So here's the good news. You're not alone. You have the Spirit of the living God inside of you. If you flip back to chapter 4 real quick, I skipped this verse before for a reason, but now we're going to look at it. When they're asking Peter, you know, how did you do this? By what power? By what name? Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them. See, Peter wasn't a witness by himself. Jesus didn't give this super important assignment to Peter and leave him alone. In fact, that wouldn't even be possible. Peter would have absolutely failed, we know, because we saw what he did on the night of Christ's crucifixion. He completely failed on his own. He couldn't even stand up to a few women sitting around a campfire. He caved under that. You think he's going to stand before like the highest authority and the highest council in his land? And by the way, that's the difference between whether you're filled with the Holy Ghost or you're not. One way you can test, am I filled with the Holy Ghost or not? Well, do you have courage to speak about Jesus? Or are you even afraid of some of the most weakest people on the earth? If you're afraid to speak about Jesus to them, you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not saying you don't have the Holy Ghost. You might. You might be saved. You might not. That's something you need to examine, and you need to seek God's face for that answer on. But if you're folding under small pressure, you're definitely not filled. Because if you're filled, you'll stand before the highest authorities of the land and you'll speak with confidence. Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. And he went on from there. Listen, in this great assignment, you are not alone. Hallelujah. This is the wonderful thing about God. Everything is of him. Everything is through him. Everything is back to him. So if he's going to give you an assignment to do, he's not going to just send you alone to do it. He's going to be with you every step of the way to make sure you have everything you need. All the equipment, all the tools, all the skills, everything you need to fulfill the job. He's not going to leave you alone to do it. He doesn't put trust in man like that. Amen? That's actually good news. We should rejoice in that. Look at 1 John 5. 1 John 5. This is pretty neat. We're talking about being a witness. You need to spend time with Christ. In fact, that's the only way you can receive the Holy Ghost. Is you need to come to Christ and actually believe him. That's how you receive the Holy Ghost, is through coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And you can't come to faith in someone you haven't spent any time with. The Father has to bring you to him. And so you got to spend time with Christ. He's the faithful and true witness. But watch this. This is pretty neat too. We're talking about overcoming the world, the faith, right? Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now watch this. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that what? Beareth witness. Amen? Because the Spirit is truth. Let's keep reading. Verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So there's three up in heaven that are witnessing everything. And they're bearing record. And they're writing. And they're watching everything. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. But now watch this. Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. So when Christ went back to heaven, he left a faithful and true witness on the earth to bear witness to who he is, so that through him you could know the Father and be reconciled to the Father. Who was that faithful and true witness he left on earth? It's the Spirit of truth, the Comforter. Watch verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, guess what? The witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Watch this, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. You see that? So the Lord has left a witness, a faithful and true witness, who's just as faithful and true as Jesus Christ. So you go, well, Jesus isn't on the earth. I can't spend time with him. Guess what? His Spirit is on the earth. The same Spirit that filled Jesus Christ, gave him the power and the authority to preach the truth and heal the sick and cast out devils, that same Spirit has been left on the earth, the Spirit of truth. And the Scripture says, if you believe on the Son of God, you have that witness inside of you. So this job of being a witness has not been entrusted to you alone. You just get to be a vessel, but the true witness is the Spirit inside of you. And if we could just learn to get in touch with that Holy Ghost inside of us, to know Jesus Christ and to hear as the Spirit leads and the promptings and the voice of the Spirit, so that we can speak the things that we're supposed to speak, that we can take advantage of the open doors God sets before us day by day. Man, the faithful witness is inside of us now. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And I want to say something to just encourage you. We need to get this, because I don't know if many people have ever thought of this consciously. I don't know if you've ever consciously thought of this, but the most powerful spirit on the earth, the greatest spirit on the earth, is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Ghost. So listen, there are many principalities and powers and unclean spirits and evil spirits and spirits of fear and lying spirits. There's all kinds of spirits out there. And if you lived in the world, you tasted some of them. You partook of some of them. You know what it's like to be partaker of an unclean spirit. You know what it's like to give place to the spirit of fear to torment your mind and heart. And you know what it's like to give place to the spirit of bondage. And listen, there's many spirits out there. And when we're fleshy people, sometimes it's intimidating. How am I going to engage in this spiritual battle? A lot of times we're not really taught the ways of the spiritual realm. So it's kind of hard. Like, it's almost like mystical. We don't really understand it. But I want to give you some encouragement, some confidence. If you're born again and you believed on Jesus Christ, the most powerful spirit on earth dwells inside of you. Now look, I'm not saying you might not be filled with him. You might not have grown to maturity yet to really be able to walk in him perfectly and all these things. Look, we're all growing in these things. But have some confidence that even if you have to stand against Satan himself, Satan is weak compared to the Holy Spirit. You got to believe that. Listen, even in the book of Revelation, in the time of the great tribulation, when Satan has been given full authority, and he gives that full seat and authority to the beast, and he's given power to rule for 42 months, even during that time, when Satan's power is the greatest on earth, there are going to be faithful men and women who are going to overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, because they won't love their lives to the death. Why? Because of the Spirit of Christ inside of them. Stronger than Satan. Stronger. So if you struggle with fear, guess what? There's good news. There's a spirit inside of you that can help you overcome that fear. It's a spirit that's stronger than that fear. If you struggle with doubt, there's a spirit inside of you that's stronger than the doubts and can drive all doubts away. Listen, you got to understand, this spirit is the strongest spirit, and there are so many strong spirits out there, but he can give you strength even over them. Not over them so that you can promote yourself and glorify yourself and believe in yourself. No, that's not what the Holy Ghost is into. We're talking about the strength to be true to Jesus Christ and to speak the truth no matter what the cost when somebody needs to stand up and speak it. In Matthew chapter 10, look at what Jesus said to his disciples. You know, we shouldn't go out in self-confidence. We shouldn't go out in arrogance. We shouldn't go out lifted up because you're going to fall that way. But also, we shouldn't go out giving too much fear and honor to the big bad world and the big bad system and the Illuminati and the government and all. You know what? If you want to fear them, that's a snare. That's a trap. That's the fear of man. No. Jesus says you need to fear him. Fear him. His spirit is stronger. His spirit is greater. His word is more powerful. We need to believe this. We don't have to fear. In Matthew 10, verse 16, Jesus says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Yes, we're not out there to devour, and there are people out there to devour us. But be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, okay? He's not saying go out in foolish arrogance. You know, be wise, be discerning, be cautious. For they'll deliver you up to the councils, they'll scourge you in the synagogues. You shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. Who's giving that to you? Is it your professor? Is it your Bible college instructor? Is it even your pastor? No. It's the Lord himself is going to give it to you. This is the same way Jesus operated. And verse 20, "For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." That's confidence, amen? That man, no matter where we're brought, no matter where we're put, no matter where we're placed, if we stay humble, we stay close to Christ, and we keep seeking him, and we're walking in him, and we're not grieving his spirit, we're allowing his spirit to work in us, that man, sometimes, in essence, really, when it comes to all gospel truth, it's not really even us speaking. It's the Holy Ghost bearing witness through us. We're just vessels. Amen? You can have confidence. The witness is inside of you. He's in you. And guess what the Spirit knows? Spirit knows all things. Scripture says he searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Remember, our job is not to be clever. It's not to be crafty, although we do want to be wise and discerning. But in the end, our job is to reveal the truth that whatever that person is that we're talking to needs to hear. And ultimately, they're going to need to hear about Jesus Christ. So guess who knows Jesus Christ perfectly? The Spirit of Christ. He knows everything about Jesus. Guess who knows everything about the kingdom of God? The Spirit of God knows everything about the kingdom of God. So have some confidence. He's in you, and he can teach you all things. And he can speak through you. He can give you utterance in situations. Give you wisdom, the things that you've never even thought of before. And he can give you authority. He can give you boldness. Amen? So, key, spend time with Jesus, but confidence, you're not alone. And then here's the third last thing. It's just going to be quick. I just think this is important. Go to Philippians chapter 4. This is one last important thing that I think is just vital. And this isn't just in terms of being a witness, although really, in essence, you know, a lot of times we look at witnessing as a verb, something we need to go do. And there's truth to that. We do need to do it. But really, in the scriptures, more often he's looking at witness as a noun, as something we are, as who we are. He didn't say, "You'll go witness for me." He says, "You'll be witnesses unto me." And so, first and foremost, before God wants you to go witness, he wants to make you into a witness. And this is where that spending time with Jesus, spending time in his word, seeking his face in prayer, worshiping him in spirit and in truth, praising him, all these things, the outflow of spending time with Christ, This is forming you into a witness. And ultimately, it's not even you. It's the Holy Ghost inside of you, the perfect witness. He's in there and he can give you authority and give you the confidence. And so really, in essence, it's not so much about going to witness. It's about becoming the witness that we're supposed to be. Because if we become the witness we're supposed to be, then no matter where we find ourselves, we can witness faithfully. And really, this is kind of, in essence, what we have to become. This is part of a whole life. You know, it's like a whole lifestyle, if you will. It's a brand new life in Christ to bear witness to his glory. It's not just to, you know the few Bible verses from Romans to try to prove they're a sinner, show them that. No. He wants you to be a witness who knows him, who loves him, who can point people to him, who can bring people to him. And but here's an important thing in this process. It's Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here's the last, I think, important point in this whole thing about being a witness of Christ is pray about everything. Pray about everything. Something the Lord's just been just confirming to me is we just need to pray about everything. There's nothing that you shouldn't pray about. And obviously there are certain prayers that are ineffective and they're coming from the wrong mindset and God will redirect us. But I'm saying, like I said, if you struggle with fear, don't sit there and hide in your fear and watch TV. Go, God, help me overcome this fear. I don't want to be afraid of men. I want to overcome this. I want to have courage. I want to fear you more than I fear men. Help me, Lord. You struggle with doubts? God, please, I get these doubts in my heart and in my mind. I don't know where these things are coming from. Please, Lord, help confirm me in the truth. I want to know the truth. I want to be solid in the truth. You struggle with wisdom, making decisions? Lord, help me. I'm telling you, pray about everything. I'm amazed. I'm telling you. I swear, God answers. No, I don't swear. I reject. I repent. I'm not supposed to swear. The Lord said, don't swear. Okay, so I repent. I'm sorry. Sorry, Lord. But I'm telling you, I feel like God answers every one of my prayers. And I mean this. Like, I can't tell you how many things I pray for, and God just, and I'm not talking about like, God, I want a new car. God, I want a new this. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like, Lord, help me overcome fear. Lord, help me have wisdom. Lord, help me overcome lust. Lord, help me overcome confusion. Lord, help me anything, everything. And I just see God so faithful. Now, I want to encourage you, most of the times he doesn't answer me like while I'm praying and then like, boom, all right, it's gone. That's not usually how it works. He can do that. Sometimes in the prayer, you can win the victory in the prayer. So I don't want to discourage you from that. You can. Sometimes he does that. But a lot of times what he's done with me, when I'm praying, Lord, please, I don't want this anymore. Root this thing out of me. Help me overcome this, Lord. I want to have faith. I want to have real faith. I pray these things. And then when I see what God does, is he guides my path. And it might be over the next month, might be over the next 3 months, 6 months, year, 2 years, 3 years. And he directs my path and he starts bringing other people into my life. And he starts opening new doors and he starts prompting me in different ways. And a lot of times he's bringing me into situations where I'm forced to face those things or I'm forced to finally really see just how bad and deep-rooted these things are in me and how badly they need to go. So I really cry out for him. And he starts to show you a new way of how to do things. And you get the victory. He's literally retraining us in everything. We're renewing our minds completely. So sometimes there's just ways of thinking, ways we do things that are just not his ways. They're not. They're our family's ways. We've inherited them from our fathers and forefathers. And we just think this is the right way. And it's not the ways of God. But man, I'm telling you, if you cry out to him and you ask him and there's nothing off limits, just pray about him. You're going to see God start giving you victory. And before you know it, you're like a new creature in that area. Like that old thing has completely passed away and you're brand new. I've seen him. He's faithful. He's faithful. Since I've come to Africa, the number of fears he has forced me to face and make me realize how fearful I really was and how desperately I need him. It's amazing, but I'm seeing him give me victory after victory, overcoming. Is it pleasant? No. Is it comfortable? No. The Comforter is not here to make you comfortable in your sin. In fact, he's here to make you very uncomfortable in your sin so that you'll finally repent and you'll rely on him and you'll trust Christ and you'll obey him. And through that obedience, then you can finally be comforted in your obedience and he can bless you in that. That's the job of the Comforter. He's there to make you uncomfortable so you can obey and then you can become comforted in that obedience. But I'm telling you, it's real. This thing is real. God is real. He's mighty. There's nothing that he can't help you with. Nothing. Nothing. Bring it to him in prayer. Ask him in prayer. Whatever, you know, again, I can't, even in physical things, God has been very faithful to me. Physical things, but that's because I don't pray out of covetousness. I pray out of need. So, Lord, we need this. Please, God, we're committing it to you. And I'm telling you, the things he brings, he just answers. He's wonderful. But especially in the spiritual realm. When you start praying into the spiritual realm, the eternal things, the things that really matter and last, you're going to see God is faithful and God is true. Because remember, in the end, this isn't even about us. You know, really a lot of our problems that we face is we're lifting ourselves up too high. We don't even realize it, but we are. Or we're just puffing ourselves up too big. Lord, I can't. Lord, I can't. Lord, notice the focus is all about me. Instead of, Lord, you can. Lord, I know you can. You are faithful. You are able. You are mighty. You can do it. And if you tell me to do it, even though I know I can't do it without you, with you, somehow, by your grace, I can somehow do this thing. I don't know how, but I'm going to trust you. And you're just going to find he is faithful and true. Listen. God said that the whole earth will be filled with his glory. God swore by himself. Now, I don't know if you know scriptural language, but when God swears by himself, you're talking about the most absolute form of his word. Now, look, I know God's word is true and none of it's going to fail, but sometimes God speaks things where he's still in the contemplative stage. And sometimes God repents even of what he says. He goes, all right, I won't do that. But when God gets to the point where he swears by himself, you better be sure. He's making an oath by himself that that will come to pass. He swore by himself that every knee will bow and every tongue will swear that he is Lord. And the Lord, he promised, he made an oath that the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, filled with his glory. So when we go out, let's have some confidence. This is God's earth. And this gospel, this is his gospel. This gospel needs to shine to the ends of the earth. These souls, these are his souls. Even if they're the devil's children, they're still his souls. All souls belong to God. God's the one who created souls, not the devil. So understand, when you go out, you can go out with confidence that he's with me when I go out to do this job. If I want to speak up for Jesus, if I want to turn people's hearts to Jesus, if I want to bring forth the truth of Christ and the gospel so people can be saved, you better believe the living God looks down and he wants to help you in that job. Now, sometimes you're not fit yet, and there's things he's got to work out of you and cleanse you and get you ready, and you might be zealous ahead of what you're ready for, but he knows all that. But if he sees that desire, have confidence. He's with you. And he's in this job. It's a big job. Amen? Let's just finish with Psalm 19. I'm just going to read this chapter. The Lord put this psalm in my heart this morning. We're just gonna end with this. I'll encourage you, two books, if you want to be a faithful witness to Christ, two good books of the Bible to start in are Psalms and John. Psalms and John. And you guys are already studying John on Sunday night, so you have a great advantage. But I'm telling you, David and John the Apostle, those are arguably two of the closest men to Jesus Christ who ever walked the earth. Now, I know Jesus wasn't born as a man yet, you know, during the time of David, but let me tell you, David knew Christ. God revealed the Messiah to David. David had a heart after the Lord. David loved the Lord. And if you want to draw close to the Lord, Psalms and John. These are wonderful books. And we know John was the closest of all the disciples to Jesus. So, Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Hallelujah. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Hallelujah. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. David looks up at the heavens. He looks at the earth because God's amazing. He's glorious. And he sees Christ, the Son of the living God, in foreshadow and pride. He sees he's a strong man. He's going to run this race. He's going to circle the whole thing. And then he looks at the Word of God. He goes, wow, this thing is perfect. This thing teaches me. It rejoices me. And he goes, this thing is so much more valuable than gold. And so he looks up and then he looks in the Word and then he cries out to God and goes, please, Lord, cleanse me. Please, Lord, make me acceptable in your sight. My words, my heart, I want to be acceptable to you. And this is really how God forms us into faithful witnesses. That's how he forms us. We spend time with him. We look at him. We see his glory. We dig into the Word. And then we cry out to him, Lord, please make me fit. Make me fit. And guess what? You're not alone. The Spirit's in you. It's in you. Amen? He's faithful. He's faithful, faithful, faithful. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Are you thirsty? Come to Jesus and drink. If you do, he said, he that believes on me, out of his belly shall flow. Not spurt, you know, not like squirt a little bit here and there once in a while. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Spirit. Puts that Spirit deep in your belly and you're not alone. He's with you. Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you, Father, for your grace. God, we know that apart from you, we are so unworthy. We are so unfit. Lord, we need your help in everything. So please, Father, I pray for this church, God. Father, soften their hearts to you. Soften their hearts to the things of your Spirit. Soften their hearts to Jesus Christ. Let them be thirsty for Christ. And not thirsty for physical anymore. Not thirsty for those other things, Lord. Let their thirst lead them to you. And Father, I pray, God, that you're gonna form some faithful and true witnesses out of this congregation. And you're going to send people. You're going to send some men out of here to preach this gospel with authority and with power. Thank you, Lord, that we're not alone. You're with us. We need you. We pray for might, Lord. I pray for might. You said the spirit of counsel and of might was with the Lord Jesus. We pray for that spirit of might to be in Victory Independent Baptist Church, to be in these people, Lord, that they would realize that you are a mighty God. They don't have to be afraid of what man thinks. They don't have to be afraid of man's arguments. They don't have to be afraid of man's looks. But God, they can speak your truth with might, confidence, because you are mighty and you will overcome all your enemies. Thank you, Lord. And we pray for grace, Lord. We need grace in all things. May the spirit of grace and supplications be poured upon this body. Father, that people would start crying out to you, just crying out to you. Lord, that revival could break out of this place all through Klaxdorp. Please, Father, you're able. You're mighty. You're stronger than COVID. You're stronger than lockdown fears. You're stronger than all this junk. Your grace is sufficient. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Please, Father, pray for a spirit of grace and supplications where people will repent, where people will cry out for mercy. Lord, where your grace will be proved to men to be more than sufficient. We need you, Lord. We pray for all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Did you get some help this morning, church? I certainly got some help this morning. Take your hymn book. We're going to go to 548. It's a servant's heart. It's just two stanzas, so we're going to sing it twice. Make it four. I like what it says. Make me a witness like you, dear Lord. We want to be a servant of the Lord. We're going to have to spend time with the Lord. We're going to have confidence in the power that is given unto us to be that witness. We're going to have to pray about everything and then go boldly and do what the Lord has called us to do. Let's stand as we sing 548.
Make me a servant like you, dear Lord, living for others each day. Humble and meek, helping the weak, loving in all that I say. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Here's my life, take every part. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Help me draw so close to you that your love comes shining through. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Showing the love of the cross. sharing your word till all have heard, serving whatever the cost. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Here's my life, take every part. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Help me draw so close to you. Let your love come shining through. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart.